I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. We look back at the year that was in provincial politics with the great Sean Holman. He's one of the best reporters in Victoria and one of the most respected amongst other journos at the legislature. His website is publiceyeonline.com. It's indispensable. You can also hear him Sunday mornings on CFAX, and he teaches at the University of Victoria. Please welcome back to the Planta on the Line program, Sean Holman. Good morning, Mr. Holman.
Good morning, Joe.
I can't call you Professor Holman, or can I?
Well, you can call me Professor Holman. You just can't call me Dr. Holman. But regardless, none of my students actually call me Professor. Well, they try to, but I'm more of an informal kind of guy.
Yeah. The site is just great to look at after this redesign that you've done. You have video clips and the sort. How does it work with the video clips? Like, there was this clip of you going up to the, I guess she's the Advanced Education Minister, Moira Stilwell, right?
Yes, that's right.
And so you're up in her face. Are you holding the camera, or what's
it? I'm holding the camera, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
No, so the way it works is I've got my little handy cam. It's a Canon, and I've got a little microphone attached to the camera that provides it with a degree of professional sound. I've also got a light panel attached to it that provides some good lighting. And I'm doing the whole entire videographer thing, holding the camera, recording the moment while getting up in people's faces. And I think it actually really works out well because it shows entirely the interaction between the media and the politicians. And that's something that you don't really get from really anywhere else. And I think it's important because so often media organizations, what they do is they end up clipping just what the minister has said. And so often what the minister has said isn't an actual response to one of the questions. They usually just kind of fence the questions by delivering the answer they want to give. So you can see the whole entire interaction, how it plays out, how the ministers are trying to avoid answering questions by simply not answering them. And it also really allows you to show and really hold the media accountable, too. Are they asking the questions that the public wants answered? Are they being aggressive enough? I think it's a really great transparency accountability medium.
And see, what I noticed, well, why I'm asking about this is because she wasn't looking at the camera. She was looking at you, asking the question. So is the camera off to the side, or how does that?
No, the camera is just I'm holding the camera up. I'm looking at the little viewer, so you know it's sort of off to the side, but she was primarily looking at me. That's true.
And just these esoteric questions that
yes.
I have. So when you're in a scrum, is there a pecking order in terms of who asks the first question? Like, does Vaughn get the first question, or?
That's a really interesting question because it goes to the dynamic of the press gallery. You know, there's not really a set order in terms of who asks the questions. You know, sometimes some members of the press gallery will sort of get a little bit of priority in terms of the questions that they ask. Other journalists will sort of, you know, let them ask questions as opposed to just sort of competing with them. I would say that Vaughn Palmer is definitely one of those people who, when he asks a question, the rest of the press gallery wants to pay attention to what it is and hear what the minister's response is. Keith Baldry from BCTV also sometimes has some really good questions, but, you know, he also carries the weight as well of the fact that, you know, he's representing the major media organization in the province. And Jim Beattie, who's from CTV, is pretty aggressive in asking questions, and I like to think that I'm pretty aggressive at asking questions as well. It's sort of a every man for himself kind of atmosphere down there, and you really have to fight to get your questions in.
In terms of the government, you've only covered this government, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I've only covered the Campbell administration, so I haven't actually seen, you know, what it was like previously when the New Democrats were in power. My experience only dates back to 2003. So, you know, I would have been fascinated to be back then and see whether or not there's been any difference between now and then.
In terms of availability and the sort, is this government known for that? I guess not, from what I hear.
No, certainly not. And I would say that access, and this is something that is occurring at public institutions everywhere, not just this provincial government, But access by reporters to, for example, you know, individual bureaucrats. We used to be able to talk to individual bureaucrats, and now we're no longer able to do that. Everything is shuffled through communications, or it has to be a question that's put to a government minister. And I don't think that actually serves the public very well, because, you know, ministers only know so much, communication staff only so much. It's really the bureaucrats who have the knowledge base. So I think there is something significant that is being lost there. But that being said, I think you're right in saying that this provincial government definitely does not like questions being asked of it. Isn't very transparent, especially in comparison to the commitment that they made in 2001 to be the most open and transparent government in Canada. Far from it. And I think you really see that, you know, in the scrums I record. I mean, Minister Stillwell's scrum yesterday was a perfect example of that. I was asking her a question about her husband's partnership interest in a private surgical center in Vancouver. Now, this was information that is actually included in her public disclosure statement that she files with the Conflict of Interest Commissioner. And she almost seemed, at least to my eye, and I don't know what it looked like to you, Joe, but it almost seemed to my eye that she was just taking offense to the fact that I would even ask that question, that she didn't really seem to want to be held accountable for this. It's a completely reasonable question. And yet she really seemed reluctant to answer it.
Well, maybe, Sean, you weren't supposed to dig too deeply
maybe
into the report.
Maybe I wasn't supposed to dig too deep, exactly.
Yeah, just mind your own business, maybe. That's what
mind
she's
my
saying.
Own business,
yeah.
Exactly.
And the clerk of the House, he pretty much runs things at the legislature, right?
He does to a certain extent,
yeah. And he doesn't
The clerk of the House is the senior nonpartisan legislative officer down at the building. So he basically is in charge of the institution of the legislature.
And he doesn't like you loitering in the hall there, I guess, right?
Well, that has been the talk among the members of the press gallery, that, you know, one of the reasons that we've had, you know, difficulty, you know, there's been some various different changes in terms of how accessible the ministers are, the members of the government caucus are, to the media. They've moved the security corridor that's around the government's caucus room. They've moved the line further and further away from the door, so that means there's more and more room for government ministers and MLAs to escape media questions on their way into caucus, very inside the beltway. But you know, the rumor around the press gallery is that Mr. McMinn has something to do with it. I have no idea whether that's the case, though.
But the great thing is that he's reading your site.
Yes, that's exactly right. Or at the very least, the security guards are.
Yeah. What is the brown envelope?
Yeah, the brown envelope is a insider newsletter that I'm now distributing to financial supporters of Public Eye. If people want to contribute $10 a month to help support the work, the investigative work that Public Eye does, they'll get a monthly newsletter that sort of gives, I like to think of it as almost the director's cut of Public Eye. It gives some of the stories behind the stories that I've been working on over that past month, and a little bit of an insight into why it is that I do what I do and the editorial decisions that I make. I hope it's sort of almost a transparency mechanism to give people an idea into the kind of stories that I write and the very real issues that I grapple with, you know, both from an ethical basis and from a practicality basis in terms of being sort of a one-man newsroom.
This recent session of the legislature that's just wrapped up, is there anything out of it that we should note? I mean, other than the HST,
Yeah, I think the one thing that I would really note out of this particular legislative session is the fact that the NDP, I don't think, was able to capitalize in the way that they could have on the very obvious troubles facing the provincial government. The NDP, to a certain extent, was able to, you know, get the Liberals on the ropes. But there really could have been a knockout punch there. And I think it really goes to the fact that the NDP are sort of in this weird limbo land where they're not doing a particularly good job of being the opposition, not doing a particularly good job of being a government in waiting, and they combine all of the weaknesses of both roles. So they're very overcautious, to the point that I think they miss out on some, you know, obvious lines of attack that they could be using to really set themselves up for the election.
And the NDP had their convention in Vancouver recently.
They did.
Rafe Mayer mentioned it when he was on this week. You covered it. What were your impressions about this party that's in limbo, as you said?
It seemed to me that there was almost it's an interesting question. Some members of the media have sort of characterized it as a boring convention, or there wasn't a lot going on. I would push back on that. I think there was a lot going on behind the scenes, and even the absence of certain things was interesting to me. I think what we're seeing right now is the party is in, as you say, a bit of limbo, in the sense that they don't really have a direction right now, and no one's really sure who exactly the leader is going to be or whether or not Carol James is going to stick around. So we're in this kind of weird holding pattern where all the various different sides, both in terms of those who want to set the party's direction and in terms of those who want to keep or replace the leader, are sort of watching one another and sort of sniffing one another out, but, you know, actual action isn't taking place. So I found it to be an absolutely fascinating convention. I'm not sure whether that answers your question, though.
What does Mo Sohota as president of the party, what does that mean?
It could mean everything or it could mean nothing. I think we don't know yet. I broke the story, actually, that Mo Sohota was going to be running for the provincial NDP presidency.
Right.
He says that, you know, he's simply there to support Carol. Hey, you know, there's some people who say, well, that's probably not the case, and that, you know, he's out to stab her in the back, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think what he does bring to the table is some political skills, which this party is sorely lacking, but whether or not he's actually going to be able to use those skills to revitalize the party is another question entirely, and to a certain extent, I think the problems go deeper than, you know, deeper than one man can possibly change.
Looking ahead, with the Olympics coming up, does that mean the political season sort of dies down?
It does. I've noticed that myself. You know, there's much less political action going on. Certainly, you know, I was publishing about 8 stories a day a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, now it's down to 3 or 4. So, yeah, I mean, it does always slow down around this time. We had the Christmas parties for the various different caucuses that actually happened this week. Liberals having a sit-down dinner at the Grand Pacific, the NDP having a little bit of a reception at Harbour Towers, and the Speaker also having his own Christmas party. So, you know, everyone is sort of going away for the holidays now. Things will slow down, although there's always lots of backroom stuff going on.
The Premier's in Copenhagen?
Yes, he is, although I haven't really been covering that too closely. My colleagues over at the TAI seem to be doing an admirable job of that.
Yeah. Well, what should we expect in the coming year? Is there anything that you're thinking about that you're looking for?
I'm wondering whether or not Premier Campbell is going to take a so-called walk in the sand. I'm wondering whether or not Premier Campbell is going to, after the Olympics, as some people want him to, announce that he is going to be stepping aside at a certain point in time. I think that if that doesn't happen, well, you know, some people say things could get messy, that, you know, there will be some kind of open rebellion against him, that there will be a move against him. I still think the Liberal MLAs, by and large, are still scared of him, so I'm really not sure how much credence I put in that. But you do see a lot of dissatisfaction out there, so I'll be interested to see whether or not Campbell decides to step aside or whether or not we'll see a continuation and some pushback on that.
This dissatisfaction amongst the caucus, are there any particular names that we should watch?
There are names that I am watching, but I'm not sure if I'm going to share those just yet, because it's all rumor and innuendo at the present moment in time.
And in the NDP, are there people there?
The NDP, it's interesting, and here's sort of a little observation as well. When you talk about the NDP and people who could replace Carol James, all of the possible successors that are named are within the party. When you talk about the people who could replace Gordon Campbell, a lot of the people who are mentioned, or at least there's a significant component of people who are outside the party. I find that interesting. I find it interesting that the NDP seems to have a real difficult job of renewal right now. I don't think there's a lot of people who are very engaged with the New Democrats, and I think they really do need some fresh blood.
Have you seen the movie State of Play?
No, I haven't. No. It's been on my list, as has The Wire, which evidently has a fantastic final season that's set in the newspaper, but I haven't managed to watch either of those movies. They've been on my list, though.
Yeah, State of Play. I mean, I highly recommend that for what you do and your interest in journalism and the sort. I saw it. Just riveting stuff, you know?
Well, have you ever seen Shattered Glass?
I have, yeah.
Oh, fantastic movie. Probably the best movie about journalism.
Isn't it?
By far, hands
down.
Yeah,
and the guy in that movie, it's a true story. I forget that Glass, I think, was his name, right?
Yeah, Stephen Glass, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean...
And Hayden Christensen plays him. Fantastic movie.
I mean, you look at the... I mean, it's almost like a horror movie when the way that he... whatever happens to him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No. It's a really good movie. And over the holiday season, may I make another recommendation? If you haven't seen it... Rent the Candidate, which is with Robert Redford. I'm sure. Have you seen?
I have it in my office. Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's on my top DVD list. Although I must say, the DVD that I watched the most, the movie that I watched the most, is this very strange, and I'm not sure. And we're totally going off tangent here. This very strange and unsung movie, I think, it was written by the same guy who did The Untouchables, called The Edge. It stars Alec Baldwin. And what's his name?
Anthony Hopkins, right?
Pardon?
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins, and it's about them doing this whole entire wilderness survival thing. If here's a piece of public eye trivia, Sean Holman's favorite movie is actually The Edge.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, Sean, you're very good to do this. I appreciate it as always.
Oh, not at all. I always enjoy it, Joe.
And best of the season. Happy Christmas to you and yours.
And a Merry Christmas to you too.
Thanks very much. The website for more is publiceyeonline.com. Sean Holman in Victoria on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.